The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, 17 teenagers from St. Cross and from St. Luke's in Long Beach participated in a MLK youth retreat. And in addition to making bagged lunches and distributing them to folks experiencing homelessness, we also went and watched the movie Just Mercy. And the movie is based off of Bryan Stevenson's best-selling book by the same title and chronicles his experience as a lawyer defending those most in need, the poor, the wrongly accused, those sitting on death row. And through his work and writing, Stevenson offers some ways in which we can more fully achieve peace and justice in our world. First is what Stevenson calls the power of proximity. The power of proximity. We have to get close to and get to know those who are experiencing injustice and poverty, addiction and dependency, to fully understand the nature of the problem. And in her sermon last Sunday, Reverend Rachel talked about outreach that is based in genuine relationship with those who we are trying to help. It's these relationships that builds community and draws us closer to the kingdom of heaven. Second, Stevenson says we have to change the narrative. We can't allow ourselves to be influenced and dominated by fear and anger, because when we do, it makes us comfortable with inequality and injustice. It makes us comfortable with seeing someone else as the other. And third, he says, we have to stay hopeful. Hope is vital in our capacity to make a difference as we strive for peace and for justice. And fourth, and this is probably the most difficult one, Stevenson says we have to do the things that are uncomfortable and inconvenient. As humans, we are psychologically programmed to do those things that feel convenient and easy, but Stevenson says we have to make a choice to get out of our comfort zone and to engage with issues of injustice in our day. In today's gospel story about the presentation of Jesus at the temple, we encounter the Song of Simeon, or the Nunc Dimittis for you Latin lovers. And it's in his song that Simeon demonstrates a certain kind of confidence, a confidence that in all aspects of life, God is with him, in the good and in the bad, in the times of joy and the times of despair. God never abandons him. And it's that kind of confidence, that kind of trust that Simeon displays that allows us to live into the work of justice and peace that Brian Stevenson writes about in his book. Now, don't lose thought of this peace and justice theme. I'm going to come back to it in just a little bit. But since we're in church and this is a sermon, I better talk a little bit about the gospel story for today. The text we hear this morning is one of the few stories in the Gospels that mentions anything about Jesus' childhood. So, when one of the authors of the Gospels does include a story about Jesus' younger years, our ears should perk up a little bit, because it's often to make a point. And this morning's text commemorates the presentation of Jesus, the Jewish ritual of inducting him into the faith and presenting a firstborn to the service of God. And from a Jewish perspective, Jesus' life is now fully dedicated to God. And for Luke's early readers, it sets the stage for Jesus' work of redemption. And it's also in this story that both Simeon and Anna, who were devout Jews and familiar with the temple, recognize that in Jesus, God is doing something new, something extraordinary. They recognize what the reading from Malachi promises. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and they go on to acclaim Jesus as Savior and Redeemer. So the stage is set for Jesus' ministry, and even at a young age, people are starting to recognize him as the Messiah. But there are also some things happening underneath the surface of this text that shed light on God's faithfulness to us. For example, by the time the author of Luke most likely wrote this story, the temple in Jerusalem, where the action of this text takes place, had already been destroyed by the Roman Empire. And it's in this setting that would have perhaps stoked memories of destruction and exile for Luke's early readers, that the author of Luke drops reminders of God's deliverance. At the beginning of the reading, Luke writes, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord," a verse that draws its meaning from the book of Exodus in the Hebrew Scriptures and is set in the context of God's liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, when children were no longer slaves, but rather dedicated to and affirmed in their identity as God's people. And as mentioned earlier, it's also in this story where we hear the famous Song of Simeon. "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Beautiful words that elaborate how the King of Glory has come. In Jesus, God is among us. Liberation and redemption are at hand. God is again demonstrating God's faithfulness. And as beautiful as the Song of Simeon is, it's also a bit odd when you stop to think about it. And it's a bit odd because it's a song about Simeon's death. Simeon has been waiting around to see the Messiah, and now that he's seen God's faithfulness in the Word made flesh, Jesus, he asks to depart. That is, to die. And not only that, but after Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph, he tells them that their son will inaugurate the rise and fall of many and be a sign that will be opposed. To wrap it all up, he tells Mary that a sword will pierce her heart, a reminder that her son will one day come back to Jerusalem for a different reason. The temple priests who blessed Jesus on the day of his presentation will one day seek to crucify him. And what's interesting about this story is that it alternates between references of destruction and exile on one hand and references of God's faithfulness on the other. The story of Jesus' presentation at the temple contains both beauty and sorrow, glory and pain, gladness and conflict. And so it is in our lives. There are always ups and downs, joys and heartbreaks, accomplishments and regrets. And in the midst of all the contradictions of the story and of our lives, Simeon's songs remind us, in Jesus, God is with us and for us in and through it all. Sure, Simeon's song is about dying, but expresses a confidence that God is with him. Confidence in God's faithfulness to us. Confidence that God becomes one of us in order to draw all of creation to God's self. It's the Simeons of this world that call our attention back to a God who never, ever gives up on us. And it's this confidence that allows us to do the work of justice and peace that I mentioned earlier. The courage to engage in the sometimes uncomfortable and inconvenient work of opening ourselves up to others, to being in relationship with those who are suffering and experiencing injustice as we seek to live in community in which all people may experience God's love. The courage to engage in the challenging yet holy work of striving for justice and peace among all people. Amen.